the collision over Brazil, and the legal fallout for the U.S. pilots. Isolated incident or dangerous precedent? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. We've all heard the details of last year's mid-air collision over the Brazilian Amazon between a southbound Gol Airlines 737 and a northbound Embraer Legacy business jet. Before the technical investigation could be completed, the Brazilian federal police have already announced they'll seek charges against the two U.S. pilots of the Embraer, Joseph Lepore and Jan Paladino. To discuss some possible implications of this rush to judgment, I'm talking today with Gideon Ewers, who's Media Communications Director for the International Federation of Airline Pilots Associations, or IFALPA. Gideon, thanks for taking a few minutes out today for our listeners.
No trouble, Paul. Glad you asked me.
Gideon, your organization released a press release a few days ago that had three particular problems with what's going on in Brazil. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And I know that in preparation for the interview, you said that this is not the only country where this problem exists. So perhaps this will bring to light for our listeners something that they didn't know about before. But your press release says, IFALPA strongly insists that, as laid down in ICAO Annex 13, Attachment E, there can be no criminal liability without intent. Are the Brazilians just getting way ahead of themselves here?
I think this is one of those situations where you have two investigations going on in parallel, and that's where the problem starts to happen. On the one hand, you have the technical accident investigation, as you would have anywhere else, but at the same time, you have the judicial police investigation. As we know, sometimes police are not expert in investigating highly technical incidents like this or accidents, and so they can tend to bark up the wrong tree. One of the key things that we believe, and we stick firmly with ICAO's Annex 13, is that if you don't intend to place, the charge that is being placed is that the crew put the aircraft in jeopardy. Our view is if there's no intent to place the aircraft in jeopardy, how could there be liability? I'm pretty sure, and any pilot out there will do, nobody ever puts their airplane in jeopardy on purpose. It's a chain of events, and any investigation into that chain of events has to go, again, this is ICAO's words rather than ours, the primary focus has to be the prevention of future accidents.
If they were guilty of what they're being charged, it's equivalent to accusing them of attempted suicide. I mean, just from a common sense standpoint as well.
Yeah, if you look at it in those terms, that's the level of ludicrousness of the charge.
Well, now the specifics of the charge are that the two pilots failed to recognize that their transponder had failed. There's been another story recently in the news regarding that very topic, and that is that a lot of transponders and traffic collision avoidance systems do not give obvious enough warnings to pilots when something has failed. And if the transponder fails, that's a pretty big deal because those pilots are now not warned about surrounding traffic either.
Absolutely.
Is this going to be a bigger issue than this one case?
I think this actually comes back to the core message that I was talking about, which is a competent, independent technical investigation of the evidence will reveal this may have been a causal factor, and therefore manufacturers and the legislators may, FAAs of this world, the CAAs, the EASAs, etc., may look at things and say, what we need to have is a more blatant annunciation if the transponder drops to standby or off or whatever, any other mode other than mode Charlie or mode Sierra. So this is the thing, is to look at the chain of events and look at the causal factors and how they can be prevented, or that chain of events can be prevented from recurring. This is why we believe that technical investigation is the way forward. It improves air safety for everybody who's flying.
Now, you say this is not isolated to Brazil. What other parts of the world are things like this going on?
Well, I don't want to get into specifics, but there are certain legal systems which are based on the presumption that there must always be someone at fault. There must always be a liability in any accident or incident. most recently, the case was finally resolved in favor. In Japan, there was the JAL 706 incident. Basically, without boring you with the detail, the crew was accused of negligence. Basically, the aircraft encountered some fairly severe clear air turbulence. And as a result, the autopilot disconnected. The crew were able to recover it, but in the gyrations associated with that, unfortunately, one of the flight attendants was fatally injured. The legal system in Japan seeks liability for someone. And again, through a lot of work by not only the Japan ALPA folks, colleagues there, but you know, right across the world, FALPA member associations working very hard to help with the case, to present the view that you know this is impossible because simply because there was no intent by the crew to cause the upset. It was a natural phenomenon. And in fact, when you now carry out a proper technical analysis of the data, you find the crew actually did a superb job. So that's one example. Another example, you know, in there have been cases, say, for example, in Italy, where there's a, looking for liability. The problem with that is if you have that situation where people are afraid of facing some kind of legal charge, they're going to be less inclined to report errors, flaws in the system. And if they're less inclined to report them, they're less, it's less likely that there will be a cure, a solution found to a particular problem. And again, ultimately, that reduces flight safety.
You know, Gideon, here in the United States, it can be kind of aggravating and frustrating to watch the abuse of tort law. Anybody who spills hot coffee in their lap at a restaurant drive-through window seems to be due a big payoff. In the case of aviation, we do occasionally see lawyers going after companies or individuals for liability in accidents before the investigation is complete. But generally, our National Transportation Safety Board is good about waiting usually right at a year before it issues a final report on cause in an accident. And this is a time for the passions to die down and the facts to be known, and then the lawyers can have at it if they want to. But you guys probably deal with this more often than we know. In fact, in the case of Flight 507 in Kenya recently may be one such case. If you read between the lines, it looks as if airline and government officials in Kenya have some reservations about the way the investigation will be conducted in Cameroon. Would it be reasonable to say that the jurisdictions in which these cases are handled properly are in the minority?
That's a difficult question to answer. I guess the safest way to answer that is to look at the accident data. And you will see that in countries or areas of the world where there is a free and independent technical investigation body, the data, you know, the statistics speak for themselves. You will see lower accident rates. And that is no small measure to the due to the fact that you have, in certain parts of the world, as I say, free and independent technical investigators who will seek what the causal effects were. They don't seek to apportion blame. And again, this is in accordance with ICAO's Annex 13. If I actually have it in front of me, funnily enough, and if we look there, right there in the the opening chapter, which being ICAO is the third chapter, the first item, yeah, it's ICAO, the third item, the first item of the thing is, and I'll just read it out, the sole objective of the investigation of an accident or incident shall be the prevention of accidents and incidents. It is not the purpose of this activity to apportion blame or liability. And we think that's a pretty good way forward. Using that, you get a better, safer system. And that, you know, at the end of the day, is the most important thing.
Gideon, we need to take a break here for a moment, but I want to ask you another question about IFALPA's press release on this story, and then talk a bit about what this means for pilots who find themselves in this set of circumstances in the future. My guest is Gideon Ewers, who is Media Communications Officer for the International Federation of Airline Pilots Associations. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg, talking today about the Lapore Paladino case in Brazil with Gideon Ewers, who is Media Communications Officer for the International Federation of Airline Pilots Associations. Brazilian federal police are seeking charges against the U.S. pilots in the mid-air collision of their Embraer Legacy business jet with a Gol Airlines 737, which claimed 154 lives last year. Gideon, let me ask you about a couple of things before we close here today. And one is, in your press release, your organization's press release, it says, the decision by the Federal Police of Brazil to exclude the military from their investigation is a staggering oversight. In its own report, the Polícia Federal acknowledges that air traffic controller performance was flawed, yet failed to investigate fully the role played by air traffic control. Now, this is an interesting political divide in Brazil where air traffic control is a military process. If investigators were really seeking the truth here, why would it be a problem to implicate military controllers just because they cannot face criminal charges? Is this, I get this image of the Brazilian people approaching the hill with torches and pitchforks. It sounds like that may be what's driving the investigation.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is divide the investigation. There's a technical investigation going on, which I'm sure will be very competent. The problem we have is with the Polícia Federal investigation, which the analogy I'd use is they started a 1,000-piece jigsaw. They've put in about 500 pieces and then said, well, there you go, there's the jigsaw finished. Clearly, in this incident, there was an ATC element, which led to the collision. The question is, how big a point did that play? Was it how did those causal factors lead to the collision? If you don't investigate it for whatever reason, the investigation itself is invalid. So you have to look at that. Now, if you talk about the political thing within Brazil, the division between the civil police and the military authorities, it's one of those things that it would be flawed to even go there. They should, in our view, they should have waited until the Sintra investigation, the technical investigation, was completed, and then from that data, look at whether anybody should face charges.
Well, there's some passion, surrounding these incidents on the part of people when they hear these news stories that may be somewhat dulled if it's a year later before the civil part happens. People tend to have forgotten the story, but in a way that's good, isn't it? Because it takes the emotional part of it out of it and lets the civil lawsuit attorneys get started once the facts are known.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. And also, the more important thing with any of these investigations is that any lessons that can be learned. I mean, this industry and aviation in general, we can go right back to Wilbur and Orville, is based on a continuous improvement. People have looked at what's gone wrong with any incident or accident, and they've looked at had an honest appraisal of what's happened and dealt with the problem. I mean, the classic example of this, and it's one of the biggest changes in the way aircraft are operated, is certainly in the last 30 years or so. Actually, it was in your neck of the woods. There was a United DC-8 which had a gear-like problem, and the crew got distracted, and although I believe the flight engineer noticed they were getting a little close on fuel, they ended up just flying around in circles until they ran out of fuel. From that, the whole crew resource management programs developed. And as a result, there are a number of accidents prior to that incident in Portland there that were, you know, if crew resource management had been around, they probably wouldn't have happened. That was a big change. But that's only, you can only do that sort of thing if you can have an honest appraisal of what's happened in any accident, what events have led to the problem. I mean, using the James Reason model, I don't know if your listeners are aware of it, was imagine a number of slices of Swiss cheese. And what you have to do is avoiding those slices lining up so one series of holes connects through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If you break one link in the chain, it's another analogy, but you know, the accident doesn't happen. But the only way you're going to find out what those links are or where those Swiss cheese holes are is by an honest appraisal. And that's why the independent technical investigation route is the best. I'm going to leave it to the lawyers later on, but let's get the technical facts established. Let's get the lessons clear so that they can be any mistakes and errors can be corrected, whether technical or procedural or whatever.
Well, on the topic, in the big general area of moving forward into the future with this, I had one question about what this accident does to set precedent. But if I have understood you correctly, it may be a question that's already out there. And that is, if you're an airline pilot now or a business jet pilot, any commercial pilot, headed northbound over Brazil and air traffic control assigns you flight level 370, do you now second guess air traffic control's instructions? Because the implication here was that these guys should have known better than to be at 370.
Well, you know, it's too early to say. It hasn't been established. You know, as I say, you know, I've called the Polícia Federal flawed for not waiting for the outcome of the Cintra investigation, and I'd be flawed too if I speculated on that. I would suggest that I imagine most pilots operating in any airspace where that there are questions would exercise extra vigilance. You know, it's part of your skill as a pilot. When you're briefing yourself and you're looking at those amps, you're aware of certain situations that may arise and react accordingly.
Well, now, are there a number of other places where airline pilots fly now where that's already a concern?
Well, you know, funnily enough, at the moment, talking about the military to civil handover of air traffic control, just a little bit further south in Argentina, there's two problems for pilots right now. There's the radar coverage in the Buenos Aires TMA, is non-existent at the moment. There's a lightning strike and the radar was taken out and it hasn't been repaired yet. So that's one issue. The other issue is the reality of the changeover between the military air traffic control and handing it over from the Air Force to a civil organization. That may cause some problems. So we issued a safety bulletin, last week or the week before, which basically says, you know, guys, it's an issue you need to be aware of and plan your flying accordingly.
Well, Gideon, this is a fascinating and precedent-setting case, and I really appreciate your taking a few moments out today to talk to our listeners about this from the standpoint of your organization. Thanks for joining us today on Aero News.
Not at all. My pleasure.
My guest has been Gideon Ewers, Media Communications Officer for International Federation of Airline Pilots Associations. You can find that organization's webpage at www.ifalpa.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.